And our scripture today is taken from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Next Sunday is Easter. We're having our Good Friday service on Friday, and then we're going to have our worship service on Easter Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. But I'd like to give you just an outline of where we're going in our church over the next months. After the Easter season, I will be leaving for a time of study on a study leave for April 3rd. I'll be gone. We're going to be having a young man come and speak to us. His name is Jamie Hunka, and he's a graduate this year of Rocky Mountain Bible College, and he'll be coming speaking to us. Then April 24th and May 1st, Barb and I are going for holidays. Use them or lose them, Larry. That's the message. So we will be going for 2 weeks of holidays. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to take a week out in Victoria and spend a little time. On those two Sundays, Jamie will be returning, and he'll be speaking those two Sundays as well. He tells me that on April 3rd, he'll be speaking to you. He's 24 years old. On April 24th, he will be speaking to you. He'll be 25 years old. So there will be a marked degree of improvement and maturity that you will notice between those few Sundays. After Barb and I return, I'm going to begin a series called Walking in the Truth. And it's a very simple series on honesty. How do we be honest with God? How do we be honest with ourselves? And how do we be honest with one another? It's a series on honesty. And we want to look at that whole notion of Jesus' teaching on what it means to walk in the truth. Jesus says that the truth will set you free. Well, precisely, how do we make that a reality in our own lives? So that's what we'll be looking at. That's where we're going over the next number of months. Palm Sunday commemorates the arrival of Jesus into Jerusalem during the week before Passover. And this vibrant and rich scriptural narrative of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is one of those passages that is charged with meaningful anecdote to the Old Testament. And without due consideration as to what is really going on in Judaism at that particular time, we miss some of the subtle cultural and ritual relevance and significance of the text. Have you ever wondered how, on this very occasion, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, this large crowd was assembled with palm branches waiting to welcome the Messiah? Where did this crowd come from? Did Jesus have front men like we see in the race for the American presidency? People who went out to announce that Jesus was coming? Or is this just some remarkable coincidence? The significance of the text is substantially found in an examination of the practices of Judaism in that day. It is the 10th day of the Jewish month of Nisan, when preparations are being made for the feast for Passover. At this time, the high priest would go down to Bethlehem, which was a shepherding community, and all the Passover lambs came from Bethlehem. And the high priest would select one perfect lamb, and he would then put the lamb on his shoulders and carry it back to Jerusalem. And this would occur 4 days before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Feast of Passover. Now there's a clue. The Passover lamb came from Bethlehem. Now when the Passover lamb was carried from Bethlehem into Jerusalem, the crowds would gather with palm branches and sing, "Hosanna to the Lamb of God who has come to take away our sins." Then the priest would enter through the eastern gate into Jerusalem and into the temple area. Now this is the background of the event we read in Scripture. And then, of course, as we read in our Scripture this morning, we see the crowd shouting, "Hosanna, blessed be the Son of David." Now in our text, Jesus instructs his disciples, as we read in the text, to go into the neighboring village and bring the foal of a donkey, and thus fulfilling the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, many of you are ranchers and horsemen here in southern Alberta. Now, let me ask you, how easy would it be to ride a donkey's colt? Or maybe the question should be, how easy is it to break in the colt of a donkey? Maybe even another question, why would you? Now here we have two paradoxes. Jesus riding a foal, an unbroken baby donkey, and that through a dense crowd of yelling and cheering people. Here we see Jesus Christ, the Lord of creation, who stilled the storm, mounted on this perfectly calm foal, riding triumphantly into Jerusalem, and that without incident. Now, does that not arrest your curiosity as both remarkable and unusual? Perhaps miraculous? See, in those days, when a king came on a mission of peace, he would ride on a donkey. But when a king comes to wage war, he comes on a horse. When Jesus returns to this earth, it will not be a mission of peace. It will be one of war. Revelation 19:11 says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war." God came to this world, a baby born in Bethlehem, with the message, on earth, peace and goodwill to all men. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. But one day, he will come to claim what is his own, and that day will be the judgment of the nations. The story of the triumphal entry occurs when Jesus was returning from Bethany after raising Lazarus from the dead. He was on the same road that also led to the Eastern Gate. Now, this is also significant. The Eastern Gate is significant to the text because we read in Ezekiel 44 and the first two verses, "Then the man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, 'This gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it.'" Today, the eastern gate of Jerusalem is shut, and no one can enter it. In front of it is a Muslim cemetery. No longer is the Passover lamb brought in from Bethlehem to the temple courts. The days of the Passover lamb entering Jerusalem through the eastern gate is over. God's Passover lamb has been offered once and for all. The penalty and offering for sin has been made and never again need be offered. When John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, he declared him to be Messiah with the words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And on this day, this Lamb of God, riding on the foal of a donkey, enters Jerusalem, probably behind the high priest. And the Lamb of God, selected by God himself, prepares for the final sacrifice for the sin of mankind once and for all. Now, when the lamb was brought into Jerusalem, it was tied outside the entrance to the temple. And for 4 days, it was examined to see that it was clear of all blemish. For only a faultless and perfect lamb could be sacrificed for sin. For 4 days, the priests would probe and poke to see that this was a perfect, spotless lamb. Another clue. Jesus comes into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month of Nisan. He is brought to the temple and examined. The Pharisees examine him. The Sanhedrin examine him. Pilate examines him. Then Herod examines him. Then back to Pilate. All examine Jesus. And the definitive report is made by Pilate himself. "I find no fault in this man." Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, is now our perfect sacrifice for sin. After a mock trial, Jesus, God's own Son, is put to death on the cross. One of the cruelest forms of execution ever devised by man. Hebrews chapter 2 begins, "We must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment." And then verse 3 asks a question that can never be answered. "How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation?" How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The cross cost God his own Son. The cross cost Jesus his life. And I can assure you that inclusion in the Christian faith will cost us no less. We need Jesus' triumphal entry back into our hearts and lives, our churches, and our nation. The claims of the Christian faith are exclusive and unequivocal. If He is King of kings and Lord of lords, then we must live as though that were true. The triumphal entry began the week of God's confrontation with the forces of darkness. The cross is the apex of all of history. The saints of the Old Testament are saved by what Jesus would do. We are saved by what Jesus has done. The cross is the apex of all history. And that is what we call covenant theology. And the sacrificial Lamb of God was offered by a heavenly Father who loved His enemies, a notion that the rational mind can hardly fathom. And this morning we will participate in the table of remembrance. We will participate in a service inaugurated by Jesus when He ate the Last Supper with His disciples. And as we do, let's give careful consideration to this event of history. Let's let its implication bear its weight on our hearts. And let us allow Jesus to make His triumphal entry into our hearts again this morning as we participate in this communion table.